chapter 20. All the kiddos, please. All kiddos, all the way from, let's see, what is it, 3-year-old, all the way through 6th grade. You are dismissed at this time. All 3-year-olds through the 6th grade, you are dismissed. Appreciate those who are working with the children. God bless them. Thank you very much. As the workers are leaving, I appreciate your sacrifice to work with these children during this special commandment that we're going over and going through. And God willing, this will be the last part of this commandment. So the kids will be with us in here on Sunday nights, the good Lord willing. Of course, they may be getting used to this and might like it. We'll see what happens, but they'll probably be in here with us. All right, Exodus chapter number 20. We have been preaching through this book together. We've come to chapter 20 that has the Ten Commandments within it. And we are in the midst right now of commandment number 7. I've already preached 2 parts to this. And tonight we're going to preach the final part to this particular command. It's found in verse number 14. It's commandment number 7, if you're keeping notes as we're traveling through this book together. It's the words, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's pray together. This is part 3 to this commandment tonight. I'm going to go back and pick up the introduction under this, and then we'll proceed. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. Challenge us from your word. And I pray as we come tonight to the answer to this, that you will help us to live in victory over this commandment. It was to realize that there's nobody here that is not apt to be tempted to fall to a sin like this. Help us not to approach this, Lord, in pride, but approach it in humility and humble dependence upon you. Help me to preach this, I pray, in a way that honors you. Thank you for the privilege of being called to preach. Thank you, Lord God, for calling me to spend my life telling others what you have said. What an honor, what a privilege. I give you praise for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The 7th commandment pointedly and boldly says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." The Hebrew word for this adultery here in the original language in the Old Testament, this word adultery is applying both to men and to women. So adulterers and adulteresses. This word adultery means to break one's wedlock. And my friends, listen to me now. I know I'm repeating some of this, but marriage is very sacred in the eyes of Almighty God. And marriage is very special to the Lord God who created it. And I remind you that marriage, one reason it's so sacred to Him is because of what He's chosen it to picture. Out of all the relationships within the Word of God, God has chosen the husband's relationship to the wife to picture Christ's relationship to the church. And because of this, marriage is not a commitment, it's a covenant. It's a covenant that a man makes with God to his wife, and a covenant that a wife makes with God to her husband. But one way that this marriage covenant is being broken and violated today is in the breaking of this commandment. In breaking this command, what a mate is telling his or her wife is, "You're simply not good enough for me." You know, before you start thinking that you're immune to this, in other words, before you start thinking that I never have and never will break this commandment, all need to understand something. We need to understand that sexual temptation is very powerful. And all have sexual passions that are explosive. And if they are left unguarded, they can cause grave results. Now, as we study this commandment, I want you to ask the Lord again to speak directly to you and help you understand, as I'm preaching to myself, Lord, help me understand the importance of what He is saying. It is the will of God for husbands and wives to be true and faithful to God, and as a result of that, to be true and faithful to one another. As a matter of fact, this commandment meant so much in the Old Testament that Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10 reads as follows, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." In the Old Testament, when folks were found out that they had committed adultery one with another, God killed them. It's a very, very grave thing. And in today's philosophy, in today's world, marriage is looked at as take it or leave it. In other words, as long as he or she meets my needs, I'll stay here. But if they don't meet my needs, I'll look elsewhere. That is foreign to the Word of God, my friends. I'm telling you, it is the will of God for husbands and wives to stay together until death do you part. That's the will of God. Let me say this to you just in case we have folks who are married, divorced, remarried, and all of that. Some of the finest people that I know of have been divorced. That's the honest truth. And it's not that if you're divorced, you can't be used by God, because God forgives sin and he uses people who've been divorced in a mighty, mighty way. Thank God for that. But you must understand the Word of God is never, listen to me please, God never wants you to go into marriage looking for an escape hatch if it doesn't work out. That is not the will of God. And one way, get this, that husbands and wives stay together but they break their marriage wedlock is in the sin of adultery. Now, I've already given you two major things. I'm just going to tap them on the head. I encourage you to go back and get the last two Sunday night's messages if you'd like to be up to date with everything I preached on. But number one, we looked at the report on adultery. I preached on that 2 weeks ago. And when we studied that together, this is as far as we got, we saw that a Bible report on adultery brought out that adultery is a sin against God, it's a sin against yourself, it's a sin against the body of Christ, it's a sin against the Holy Spirit, and it's a work of the flesh. Then we noticed not only what it is, but secondly under the report, how do you commit adultery? Now, obviously, folks understand the adultery that's committed in body. In other words, you literally, physically, excuse me now, but you go to bed with somebody other than your mate. That's in body. But where also the rubber meets the road is where the Lord Jesus Christ brought out in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5, verses 27 and 28, he brought out that we can commit adultery not only in body, but in mind. Because he said this, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. May I say this to you, and I'm trying to be very discreet here. Excuse me now. You do not have to jump in bed to be an adulterer or an adulteress in God's eyes. God is saying if you look at another person in a lustful way that is not your mate, you are guilty of adultery. See, his standards are so much higher than ours. And with this being the case, that was the Bible report. And may I remind you that it's been reported that 40 to 60% of Christian men are involved somehow, some way in pornography. And may I say this to you, my friends, if you are striking up a flirtatious relationship in a chat room, if you are saying inappropriate things at the workplace, if you are looking at things that you should never look at, are you listening to me? That is adultery. And that is unfaithfulness to your mate in the eyes of Almighty God. We need to see it the way God sees it. That's what God said. Secondly, we preached last week on the results of adultery. If you weren't here, let me just mention them. First of all, it deceives. It does not satisfy. Secondly, it defiles. It makes you dirty. Number three, it delivers. What that means is that it brings something. It doesn't bring satisfaction, but it will deliver guilt 100% of the time. We saw that it destroys. It can destroy your family. It can destroy yourself. And finally, we finished last week on it draws. It draws the judgment of God. The Word of God says in Hebrews 13, 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Now we pick up here with this point tonight. We've noticed the report on adultery. We've noticed the results of adultery. But finally, we're going to conclude this command and move on. We're going to notice the remedy for adultery. Now up to this point, we've exposed the sin of adultery and how the Lord is very displeased with it when somebody succumbs or gives in to it. Now we shift our focus to how we can live in victory over this damaging sin taking place all over the world. By the way, again, never think that you are immune from committing a sin like this. There is not one person listening who is not apt to committing this sin at some time in your life, whether it be in body or in mind. Now there's a 6-point outline I'm going to give you tonight. And this 6-point outline, they all begin with the letter R. The reason I try to do that when I can without forcing it is to help you remember it. Okay? Let me give you a 6-point outline that will help you whether you have not been guilty or whether you have been guilty. You with me? If you're as clean as the day is long, this same 6-point outline is still for you. But if I'm talking to somebody that you're cut already because you know you're watching things that nobody on planet Earth knows about, but God is speaking to you right now and says, I know all about it. If you're convicted tonight already and you're guilty in your mind or in your body, I want to give you 6 points tonight. Number one, this is how to live in victory over adultery. First of all, recognize. Recognize. You say, what are you talking about? Here's the first step to safeguarding against the sin of adultery. It is to recognize our need for victory. There is no help for an individual who does not recognize the fact that he needs help. There's no victory in a person who doesn't recognize that. Every person needs to recognize the fact that you and I are very weak and we are not able in our own strength to withstand this temptation of our flesh. The thought here is one will never seek biblical help and never live in victory over this sin unless we are conscious of the fact of our own weakness and need for victory. Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." By the way, that was the Apostle Paul saying that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. This is a man that was mightily, mightily used of God. And I'm saying that some people have even identified him as the greatest Christian that's ever lived. Ever lived. The greatest child of God that's ever breathed God's air. And yet he said, I've learned something. That in my flesh there dwells not one thing that's good. Not one thing. You know what he's doing? He's recognizing something. He's recognizing his need not to trust himself and that he needs help from above. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus," get this, "and have no confidence in the flesh." Again, that's the Apostle Paul. By the way, you show me somebody who's flagrant, you show me somebody who's prideful, you show me somebody who thinks that the mirror was created just for him or just for her, and I show you somebody who's in a lot of danger points in his life. What's the moral of the story? Get rid of your mirrors. No, that's not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is this: recognize that you are weak. You can fall. Your flesh is strong, and your flesh is stronger than you. And if you try to fight this battle in your flesh, you will commit adultery 100% of the time. Even if it's not in body, it will be in mind. Secondly, number two, repent. This is obviously for those who are dealing with this, dealing with it. There's no doubt that there's many more people dealing with adultery in their mind than in body. But you know what, it's time to understand this. Once a person recognizes his problem with the sin of adultery in his body or in his mind, the next step is not to make excuses, but to come completely clean with the Lord God of heaven. In other words, get honest with God. By the way, He already knows, friends. You know, it's interesting that we try not to repent or try not to confess things, and God already knows about it anyway. The fact of the matter is, what I mean by this is agree with God. Agree with God. You know what some people try to say when they commit adultery and they're found out? Well, if my mate would have just treated me better. Well, if she'd just fulfilled my needs, or if, yeah, I tell you what, if he just wouldn't be traveling so much, I'd have never had this happen. You know what I say to that? That's what I say to that. Amen. You know what, it's time that we get around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? It's time we all get honest before our Maker. That's what I mean by repent. If you're guilty, don't try to cover it up before God, friends. Lay it out at His feet and say, God, I thought wrong there. That was ungodly. And in your eyes, that was adultery. Would you forgive me? That's wicked. That's ungodly. Get right with God. Repent. Recognize your weakness, and when it's appropriate, repent before God. Psalm 32, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto Thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. You know what that word Selah means? It means stop there and think about that a while. In other words, the psalmist said, I acknowledge my sin unto You. I confess my sin. I didn't cover it up. I told You exactly what I did. And here's what I found. You forgave me. You forgave me. Psalm 51, 3 and 4. This is the psalm that David wrote, as I've already brought out in maybe last week or the week before, after he was found out with his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. And Nathan put his finger in his face and said, Thou art the man. And David was guilty, and David began to get right with God. And he penned, humanly speaking, God, the Holy Spirit inspired it, but humanly speaking, he penned Psalm 51. It's a psalm of repentance and revival. And in those verses, here's what he said. He said, for I acknowledge my transgressions. I acknowledge them. And my sin is ever before me. Listen to his language. Against Thee, he's talking to God, against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest. Here's what David is saying. In other words, David could have said, well, if she hadn't have been bathing herself up on the roof of her house, maybe this would have never happened. Well, if it wasn't such a beautiful night, if God would have had it raining that night where I couldn't go out, this would have never happened. No. When David was found out, he was done with excuses. He was finished with excuses. And he said, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin was ever before me. And he said, God, against You and You only have I sinned. What about Bathsheba? What about her? I don't know if she got right with God or not. I have a tendency to think she probably did, because Solomon's coming along in the future. But the fact of the matter is this. You don't see him blaming her. You don't see him blaming his surroundings. You don't see him blaming his other wives. No, he simply said, God, I am guilty. I have sinned. And notice what he said. I have done this evil in Your sight. You know what he's doing? He's repenting, friends. He's calling it like it is. He's agreeing with God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 6-point outline to help you live in victory and stay in victory over adultery in your mind or in your body. Recognize. What's that mean? Realize you are weak and you are apt to fall at any moment. Number 2, repent. I'm talking about when it's necessary, when you have sinned, when you had an ungodly thought go across you, a lustful thought go across your mind, or God forbid that in body you've committed it. But either way, you get right with God. You repent. You call it like it is. This is wicked. This is evil. This is sin. I have broken God's law. By the way, that is never a small thing when you break the law of God. And may I say this to you? This is not about adultery, but let me just go ahead and tell you how I feel about it. The United States of America and the government, the president, everybody else is trying to jam down our throats the homosexual agenda. I saw it with my own eyes when the St. Louis Rams drafted this young man from Missouri who is an open homosexual. And let me say this to you. We love homosexuals. If you don't love them, your heart's not right with God. Are you listening to me? Your heart's not right with God. We need to go after them as much as we go after boys and girls. We need to love all people, no question about it. But when they show it that whenever they draft this young man, he has his partner who's another man rubbing his arm, and then they embrace and kiss each other, and they make much of that, and the president comes out and praises the Rams and this young man because he said that's a step forward in the right direction. Excuse me, that is not Bible. And let me say this to you tonight. Any kind of breaking God's law, this world may pat it on the head, this world may look at it and just wink at it, and this world may think everything is fine, but when you break the law of God, friends, it is very serious. You say, why'd you bring that up? Because I think it's appropriate that you understand where we stand. We love these people. We want to see them saved. But friends, when you model coddle them and you try to make them think that we're the problem and it's not them, you know what it's doing? It's condemning them to hell. Because it's making them think, I'm not, there's nothing wrong with me, it's everybody else. Do you understand? And what I'm saying to you tonight is the sin of adultery. You listening to me? We all say, amen, glory to God, all of this. You're right, preacher! But if you're watching things on the internet that you shouldn't, that's the same thing in the eyes of God. It's the same thing. It's breaking His heart. It's breaking His law. And David, who was guilty before God, said this, I have sinned. I have done evil. I have broken God's law. I will not cover this up. I acknowledge that. You know what happens when a sinner, no matter if it's homosexuality, no matter if it's adultery, no matter if it's stealing something, lying about something, when a sinner gets honest, brokenhearted, and gets down before God and starts agreeing with Him, God, you're right, I'm wrong, business starts picking up, friends. Repent. Repent. Thirdly, not only repent, but number 3, remove. Remove. You say, what's this mean? May I say this to you? If one desires to live in victory over the sin of adultery, he or she must be willing to cut off the lifeline of adultery. Now, what I mean by that is this. You must remove the tools that the devil uses to cause you to fall to this sin. For instance, if you struggle with committing adultery in your mind, may I encourage you that the closest thing to your mind that helps you think ungodly thoughts are your eyeballs. And may I say this to you, when I'm talking about removing things, if you have struggles in your mind about lusting over people, then you should remove any tool that the devil can use to cause your mind to wander. For instance, if you have internet access and it does not have any kind of filter system, you're crazy. You are crazy. There are certain kinds of television programs that you will not watch, certain types of magazines that you will not purchase. They've been removed because you do not want to put yourself in a place of temptation. If you struggle with the internet, remove that by either getting rid of it altogether or put it in an open public place, include a filter system, and have it monitored by somebody else so they can know where you've gone, what you've looked at. Have an accountability partner. And who better to be an accountability partner than your own mate? By the way, if you know ways to hide things from your mate, you've already told on yourself. And there's somebody a whole lot bigger and more important than your mate who already knows where you're clicking, where you're going, friends. See, it's time that we understand this. We need to remove some things. There are certain types of movies, sitcoms, that you're just not going to watch. They've been removed. If you want victory, remove yourself from anything that tempts you. If there's somebody at work that maybe your mate doesn't know about, but he or she's beginning to flirt with you, don't flirt back, friends. Put them in their place. And may I say this to you? It's interesting that there's some people who will go to work and get united with somebody at work, and they will leave their mate for that person at work. And I have a question for them. What makes you think you can trust her now, sir? What makes you think, ma'am, that you can trust him who was a married man when he flirted with you? I'm telling you something, friends. It's time that preachers blow the trumpet on these kind of things. And I'm blowing the trumpet tonight. Let me tell you why. I love you. I love your marriage. God loves your marriage. Stay true to each other. Stay true to God. Remove those things. If you're in a chat room, get right with God. Amen. Get away from those chat rooms and start chatting with your wife. Start chatting with your husband. Learn to run away. Learn to remove some things for the glory of God. Proverbs 4, 25 and 27, listen, through 27. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Get this, remove thy foot from evil. Psalm 34, 14, depart from evil. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Flee youthful lust. Run away. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth, get it, and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Matthew 5:27-30, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. What's the context of that? Don't commit adultery. Don't look at something you shouldn't look at. And if your right eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. It's profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. In context, have you ever heard those verses? If your right eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. In context, he is following up, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And he's saying, if you have that much trouble out of your eyeball, pluck it out. If you have that much trouble with your hand, cut it off. Now, is he literally saying, take a knife and cut it out? No. You know what he's saying here? He's saying you should be willing to deal drastically with it. You should be willing to go through pain if it means that you will not succumb to this kind of a sin. And it means that you are going to do anything it takes to deal thoroughly with this. Even if it means losing your eye or losing a hand, your purity means that much to you. That's powerful, friends. This is what he's saying. One of the greatest Bible examples of removing, of running away, is found in Genesis chapter 39. You don't need to turn there. Just let me do it for time's sake. But a man by the name of Joseph
What a man of God he was. And in chapter 39, verse 7, here's what it says. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me, get it now. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You know what that means? It means he ran like a scared puppy. Can I say this to you? We have some soldiers here tonight, and God bless you for your service. But any soldier knows it doesn't take, or at least it doesn't mean that you're a coward when you run away from certain situations. You want to get yourself blowed up? I know that's terrible English, but if you want to get yourself blowed up, then just stand there and not be a coward in some circumstances. But if you know if you step right there, you're going to detonate something that may not only blow your head off, it might kill these people around you, then you better stay away from that spot right there. Amen or not tonight, friends. It's the same thing with adultery. Why in the world would some people keep watching those same shows that they know when they watch it, it's going to cause their mind to wonder? Why in the world would they do that? Remove. Get some things out. You say, I love my hand too much. That's the problem. God is saying, you ought to love your purity so much that you are willing to lose your hand if necessary. You ought to love your purity so much that you're willing to go through life half blind, just so you don't have to look at that trash anymore. A man was falling in love with a woman at his workplace. He was counseled, apparently by a preacher, to change jobs. And he said this. He said, I can't do that. I have a wife and children that I need to provide for. What is that? Now, may I say this to you? Changing jobs is not going to change desires. And no matter where you are, you can find somebody to have a relationship with. But this man, when he said, I can't do that, I've got a wife and children to support, what he's basically saying is, I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this. I'm asking you a question. Are you willing to do anything, go through anything, even if it hurts you, to live in victory over this sin? No matter what it is. No matter what it is. If you're going to live in victory over this sin, you must be willing to remove yourself from certain people, certain places, certain things. Romans 13, 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Number four, replace. Replace. Removing yourself from tempting people, places, and things is good, but not good enough. When you remove something bad, replace it with something good. So if you remove a bad person, replace it with a good person, your mate, amen. If you remove bad things, replace it with good things. Somebody said this, lust grows active when we grow idle. That's a powerful statement. Let us replace the bad with the good. The Bible illustration of this is Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45. It says this, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first, even so it shall be unto this wicked generation. In other words, what this person was doing was trying to clean their life up. Now in context, he's talking about salvation, okay? But I'm illustrating it this way. He's saying somebody had a demon living in his house, kicked the demon out, they swept the house, they garnished it, but they didn't replace the demon with anything. So when the demon came back, He was welcome to come right back in because there's nobody there to keep him out. You see what I'm saying? And all he got now was a cleaner house. Oh, they've cleaned up around here. This is great. What's the point? When you remove, learn to replace. No doubt the main thing we all need to replace the bad with is the Word of God. Saturate yourself with God's precious Word. Psalm 119, 9 through 11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid mine heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. We all need to understand that we need a steady diet of God's word in order to live in victory over the sin of mental and physical adultery. Somebody said, and I quote, a man that is well fed on the word of God is stronger in fight. There is a fight, but you'll be a lot stronger if you're well fed in Scripture. Miss Lashley said this, and she's sitting here. I know she loves it when I quote her, but she did say this. One of the telltale signs of moral impurity on the part of a believer is an excessive interest in physical matters, appearance, clothing, diet, physical fitness, etc., with a corresponding diminished interest in spiritual things like the Word, prayers, fellowship, ministry, etc. You show me somebody who's so concerned about their outer being, how they look, their diet, how much they weigh, all these other kind of things, and their spiritual matter is cooling off, but their physical matter is flaring up, they've got somebody on the side. Amen. They got their eye on somebody that they're trying to impress. That's if the physical goes up like this and the spiritual starts going down like this. I can't guarantee it. But more than likely, they're playing a game. And it's called adultery. That's what it's called. Dr. Clarence Sexton said, and I quote, if you are a Christian and you get involved in an immoral relationship, the first fall is not that of the immoral relationship. The first fall is the coldness you allowed into your heart by falling from fellowship with God. There is safety only in Jesus Christ. Number five, the fifth R is rely. In order to live in victory over the sin of adultery, we must learn to rely upon the power and strength of the Lord. This goes right along with replace. If you're relying on the Lord's strength, you're going to be replacing things with the Word of God because you know you need Him. You've got to have His strength. One cannot live in victory over the flesh without the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. John 15, 5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Galatians 5, 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians 5, 18, and be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What he's saying there is be controlled by the Spirit. Somebody who has an alcohol problem, and they get drunk when they drink alcohol, they are now being governed by an outside force. They are saying things that they don't remember the next day. Sometimes they do things they don't remember them the next day because they were not thinking straight. They are under an outside force that doesn't make what they did right, but they are being governed by that alcohol. And it's interesting, God says here, don't drink wine to excess. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. What's he saying? He's saying, don't be controlled by physical substances, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Let me ask you a question. In where you went this week, how you thought this week, what you looked at this week, how you channel surfed this week, everything that you did in relation to this commandment, did the Holy Spirit control it? Did he control it? Were you relying on him? May I say something to you? I don't trust myself. And may I say this to you? I don't trust you either. And I hope you're saying the same thing. I don't trust myself. And I don't trust him either. I'm talking about in flesh. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you trust yourself, you're in a danger point in life, friends. Never trust yourself. Because the devil will go by, I think maybe preacher said this, he'll walk by your heart's door 1,000 times to find it cracked open just once. Just once. Let me give you a final thing tonight, and that is resolve. Resolve. Let us determine that in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we will not yield to the sin of adultery. What I mean by resolve, I'm not saying believe in yourself and say, I'm not going to do it. No. But you resolve in the power of the Holy Spirit and saying, God, I'm determined. I'm going to read the Bible every day. I'm determined that I'm going to rely on you. I can't do this. I'm going to stay on my knees. And I'm resolving myself not to give into the flesh. Let us be resolved to walk so closely to God that we will not submit to the flesh. Boy, Jonathan Edwards put it this way. Boy, this is great. Listen to this. Resolved, he said, comma. Never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Did you hear that statement? Resolved. He said, I'm resolved never to do anything that I would be afraid to do in the last hour of my life. That'd be a pretty good rule to live by right there, friends. Let us resolve before ever being tempted that when we are tempted, we will not yield. Make up your mind that you're going to stay close to God, and the next time that billboard calls out to you, or that internet calls out to you, or that flirtatious woman or a man at the office calls out to you, resolve in your heart right now, I will not yield. It says of Daniel in Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Psalm 119, 30-32, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Psalm 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He's resolved, friends. I will not do this. And as we come to the conclusion of this command, let me remind you that the stability of our nation and the stability of our church has been said to depend on the stability of the family. Adultery is an attack on the family and is condemned in the Word of God. As a matter of fact, an adulterer and or an adulteress is guilty of breaking not only this command, but several others. Do you realize that when somebody gives in to the sin of adultery, that they are breaking commands such as thou shalt not covet? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not steal. You're stealing something that does not belong to you. And many times they'll break this one, thou shalt not bear false witness. Because they will lie through their teeth to try to cover up their sin. Proverbs 6:29. I've just got scripture here. Make a statement or two or three or 20 and then be done. Here we go. Proverbs 6:29. So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1-4. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. I close with Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3 and following. I want you to turn to that last place with me, and I'm closing with these scriptures here. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 3. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 3. Keep in mind this commandment: thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 3, Proverbs chapter 5. For the lips of a strange woman, again, I remind you the word strange means she doesn't belong to you, okay? For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of her of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. Pause. He's saying right here in verse number 12, if you do this, you're going to wonder in yourself, why in the world did I ever do that? Verse 13. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation assembly. Verse 15, he starts talking about your marriage. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind at pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Be thou ravished always with her love. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? Embrace the bosom of a stranger. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself. He shall be holden with the cords of sin. He shall die without instruction. The greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Any questions? Stay away. Be pure in God's eyes and be faithful to each other. That's the will of God. Amen or not, friends? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. I pray, our Lord, that you will help us to understand your heart in this, your desire in this, and help us all to understand tonight our weakness, our tendency, our inability away from the power of God. Help us to stay so close to God that we do not yield to this temptation. No doubt that every person is tempted in some way to think lustful thoughts toward others. God, help us at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to live in victory over this. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I remind you tonight that this sin is like any other sin. It breaks the heart of God. But tonight I've been dealing in the last 3 weeks not with asking you to come forward and confess to God that you're guilty of adultery. That is not what we're asking you to do tonight. That's none of our business. But what I am asking you to do tonight, especially if you're married and your mate is in this auditorium with you, I want you to think about your mate. I want you to think about your husband. Think about your wife. Maybe you're married, but they're not here with you tonight. Maybe they're working or something like that. I want you to think about your mate. And here's my challenge to each one of us tonight. I've done this the last 2 weeks. I'm going to do it again tonight. If the men would like to grab their wives and come to the altar and pray something like this. Lord, help us to stay so close to you that we are resolved and relying on you. And God, help us to stay faithful to you. And would you please help us to stay faithful to each other? It's a great thing when husbands and wives pray. You don't have to come to the altar. I'm just inviting you to do it. And I want to invite you young people who are not married. I want to invite you to the altar to say, God, help me stay pure for the one that you have chosen for me. And then let me say another statement to those who have been guilty of adultery. I preached on this a little bit more in detail last week. Let me just mention it just in case you were not here. There are folks, no doubt, in a crowd this size that are guilty of adultery. And you've asked God to forgive you maybe numerous times. God has forgiven you. But the devil will take a message like this and try to really jam it down your throat and remind you of things. That's not my purpose. I hope you understand that. And I remind you the story in John chapter 8 when the lady taken in adultery is brought to Jesus, and Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The emphasis is if you've asked God to forgive you, he's forgiven you, he's forgotten it, and he tells you now, I'm not going to condemn you for it, but don't do it again. We serve a loving Savior, folks. We really do. So I'm inviting two groups of people to the altar tonight. One is young people who are not married, and you want to come and ask God to help you stay pure. Two is married couples. Maybe your mate's here or they're not, but you want to come and just pray and say, God, help us stay so close to you that we do not yield to this sin of adultery in our minds or in our bodies, and recommit yourself to each other here at the altar. We're going to stand together. Not going to have any singing tonight, just going to play. Let's all stand now. Shall we do that? Father, bless now, I pray. May the will of God be done. Help husbands and wives to respond. May the will of God be done here. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. There's no singing. One couple's already come. There's another couple. There's a young person. As they're playing through, if you feel led to come, come now. Young people, why don't you come and say, God, help me stay pure. Help me stay holy. Husbands and wives coming praying together. Just if God leads you to do that. I'm not trying to force you to do that. If you'd like to come and pray and say, God, keep us so close to you that we do not yield to this. Maybe you'd like to just have a seat right there. Maybe you're not coming forward, but you as a couple would like to just sit down right there together and make your seat an altar. Go ahead. Go ahead. Just sit down and pray right there at your seat. Ask God to help you. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look here just a moment. I remind you again of the picture of the marriage. It pictures Jesus with the church. And I want to ask you a question. Do you trust Jesus? Trust your husband? Will he ever be unfaithful to you? Yes or no? Is he going to run around on you? Are his eyes going to wander away from you and wish you had somebody else instead? The obvious answer to all of that is no, he would never do that to me. Aren't you glad? Amen, friends. That's the marriage. If I ever let my eyes wander away from my wife to some other lady, I am given an inaccurate picture of who Jesus Christ is at that moment, because his eyes never wander away from me. You get it? That's the highest motive. That's the highest. And I love seeing husbands and wives on their knees praying. You know what challenges me? And I'm not trying to embarrass them. Brother and Miss Jack Mosier right here on their knees praying. Amen. It reminds you of a couple things. Appreciate those visiting with us. God bless you for coming. I want our messages here to be biblical, but I want them to be spiritual. And what I mean by that is I want to give them in the right spirit. I don't want to ever come across ungodly. So let me emphasize one thing just one more time. No matter what people are dealing with, homosexuals, other things, we should love them like Jesus loves them. We should go after them like Jesus goes after them. But it does not mean that we say that what they're doing is good and right. Because when we do that, we are going against God. You're in agreement with me, right? Let's never lose the Christ-like spirit. Remind you about those juniors and seniors and parents going to the trip. You need to meet up here to our left. You who are willing to do the talking at the door in soul winning, ladies and men, all I want to do tonight is see who you are, sign-up sheet around, get your name so I can call on you. You'll be up here to my right, okay? Let's pray together. You'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. Bless now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Please speak to somebody on your way out, especially if you see somebody you don't recognize. Shake their hands, make them feel welcome tonight, okay? Again, juniors and seniors and parents to my left, those who are willing to do the talking to my right,